Welcome to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. This podcast is dedicated to helping midlife women step into the inherent power and wisdom of a time of life when they often feel overlooked and underrepresented and even begin to doubt themselves. Each week, we will cover information and inspirational topics along with real stories from real women who are defying cultural stereotypes and perceptions of midlife. Women who are reinventing themselves, starting businesses, chasing their dreams, and tackling challenges they never thought possible. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Artherton. So we're starting off 2024 with this conversation with my good friend, Sally Arnold, who is an international mindfulness educator. She's a speaker, an author, an awakened living coach, an awakened parenting coach. She is all about helping us live in the present moment, live with mindfulness so that we can just be more of who we are and access more of our lives. So welcome, Sally.
Thank you, Jen. It's so nice to be here with you. Happy New Year, everybody. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. So the topic that Sally and I are going to be talking about today is judgment. And okay, first of all, let me start off by saying we are human. We all judge, myself included. But one of the things that I personally for 2024 have noticed a lot and I'm working on is judging less. And Sally has a whole program on this. It's the Judgment-Free January Detox. Is that what it's called?
Well, yeah, I'm doing it. It's a Judgment-Free January course, and we are doing a judgment detox as we go through it.
Okay.
And ironically, the first week we have homework and heart work every week, it's not even to judge less. It's to have more grace. So there's different ways to approach this because judgment's kind of slippery.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why I wanted to have this conversation, because I think all of us can relate to judging in some form or another, or some people or other. And we tend to be like, okay, so what? So I was judgmental or I judged. But I think what we really don't fully understand is the impact that being judgmental has on us and how it's actually keeping us like stuck a little bit. So maybe we can jump into like, why do humans judge? I mean, I think every human does, right?
Right. So we judge because it's a habit. It's a learned habit. It's a practice habit, but it's a habit. And I think it also comes from our negativity default, right? So our brain is wired with fight, flight, or freeze. You know, our cavemen would, you know, run from the tigers, fight the tigers, hide from the tigers. So we have this instant negativity. That negativity is wired to keep us safe. But chances of a tiger running into your room or my room right now is pretty slim. And so we have continued to live, you know, that small part of our brain, the amygdala, is pretty tiny. And it's really helpful when a kid runs out in the street and you grab them. But we kind of live on this low grade fight, flight, or freeze kind of disassociation. And that's the cause of our negativity bias. And sadly, negativity to our brain is instant. Like if something negative happens, your brain registers. Conversely, if something positive happens, it takes anywhere from 5 to 20 seconds for it to register in our brain. So that's a huge statement about how we're wired. Now, that doesn't get us off the hook. It doesn't mean we can't change it. And it really does affect our physiology, you know, but the truth is judgment's a habit. Judgment is not true. It's just a story.
So what I heard you say was basically our human brains are wired for judgment or to make an assessment and to judge something based on a safety mechanism, like a very base reptilian level safety mechanism. Because when we were out on the savanna naked running around, we had to make instant decisions about what was safe and what wasn't. And I think what you're saying is that we have literally now taken that basic animal safety instinct and we've now projected it into the modern world. So is judgment always a safety mechanism, like even in today's world, like when we're judging, or is that just like just out of habit?
It's habit. The origin of judgment, I think, comes from that negativity default mechanism in our amygdala in our brain.
Yeah.
But then it becomes a habit. It also is pretty intertwined with our ego. You know, the ego wants, once again, the ego's job is to really keep us safe, right? So you can see where that link is between fight, flight, or fear, keeping safe. And then the ego is a little bit, well, if I make them not so good and I judge them, then it might make me a little better. You know, and in teaching this course, I realized in writing it, it was like, gosh, I'm more judgy than I thought. And then what are the triggers that make the judginess, right? And then, you know, when we stop judging, we're allowed to come into the present moment. And when we stop judging, we can reclaim our power. And when we reclaim our power, we can find our peace. And so it's really kind of breaking down, where does judgment come from? And what is that relationship with ego, ego versus wisdom? You know, the language of ego is that duality. Everything's good, bad, right, wrong, pretty, ugly,
right?
You know, fat, thin, judgment, judgment, judgment. Once again, it doesn't make it true, right? Versus wisdom is the language of compassion and love. So in this journey, judgment detox, it's replacing, because when you take something out, you got to put something back, right? So when we take a habit out, we're going to replace it. So it's making those changes on the way. And it's a lot of practice. We've been doing this a long time. You know, it takes a while.
You know, it's interesting because when I first started making an effort to be less judgmental about things, what I didn't realize was all of the, like, first of all, how often I did it and in the sneaky little ways in which I did it, like, you know, like little things like that I would never have even paid attention before I started becoming aware of my, how I judge. Like, you're driving down the street, somebody cuts in a little bit too close, right? And you're like, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't know how to drive. Yeah, judgy, right? And I've had to like catch myself being like, oh, why did I literally just jump to that conclusion about that person? Maybe he literally just didn't see me, or he's really in a hurry to get somewhere or whatever. And I have to like say these things out loud to myself to almost anchor in the moment about, okay, why did I just judge this person? But I think we are just doing it so frequently that we don't even realize we're doing it. And I know that's the case for me, but like, why does it matter that we judge? Like, what's wrong with that?
Well, first of all, what's wrong with that? You know, we want to catch us judging ourselves about judgment. Like, you know, that, oh gosh, yes. Again, and, you know, and then it's kind of a spiral. So like with the judgment detox, I have it in three phases. There's the mindfulness piece, and mindfulness is just simply what brings awareness to our experience. So when you're saying, I didn't notice, and I started noticing, and I became more aware, it's like, whoa, it's all right there. And then the other piece is our thought awareness. You know, when you, thoughts are what narrate our experience. So the story we tell, the meaning we give it is, ends up being the life we live, right? And then the third part is the self-compassion piece. And self-compassion is what gives us, it brings the acceptance to our experience. So instead of judging ourselves for judging, it's like, oh, wow, I remember that voice. And then and be able to gently and softly pivot in that moment. But your question about why is this not good? There's two things that I like to think about. One is for you to have the experience, you meaning any of us, mm-hmm. Our body has to somatically feel the emotions and the experience before we have the judgment. So let's talk about the idiot that pulls out in front of you. Now that's judgment is restricting, right? To have those thoughts, your body constricts, restricts. You don't feel good. And he doesn't change, you know, it doesn't affect him at all. And chances are his wife's having a baby or he's, you know, got IBS. He needs to get to a bathroom. Like he's got a reason and it doesn't matter because it's all story. So our radical responsibility is to come home to ourselves and allow what is, because the instant manifestation of allowing is peace, right? Mm-hmm. So when we witness others without judgment, that's where the peace is. So coming back into the present moment, reclaiming our power, which is only in the present moment. And that's where we find our peace. Otherwise, we're leaking our energy. It's sloppy all over the place. Sloppy without judgment, but a truth be told.
Right. So in judging then, you know, it can contribute to our stress, right?
Absolutely.
Which could lead to illness or just the way that we feel about that day or the way that we feel about ourselves. And so it's not what I hear you saying is judgment is not like an isolated incident, a thing, right? It's like you just said, leaky energy, right? It like spills into everything, right? And so, and this is the other thing that I became aware of when I judged is when I judge somebody, I am actually judging myself.
Absolutely. When we judge another, we're judging a wounded part of ourselves. So it's great instant feedback. You know, judging another tells more about us than it does about the judgment or the other.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's exactly the thing. And so it's like, you know, every time I now catch myself like in judgment of somebody or something, it's like I'm saying to myself, okay, where am I judging myself right now? Like, where do I feel that I'm not, you know, that I'm not enough or that I wish I was better at or whatever the thing is? Because ultimately, and you, I know you know this well, I truly believe that everything is a reflection of us back to us. Right. And so when I realized how often I judge other people, I was like, oh, I must be judging myself just as much, probably if not a little bit more. Right. And where are those places that I'm judging myself? And how can I catch myself in those places that I'm judging myself? Because if you're compassionate to yourself, and tell me if you agree with this, if you are compassionate with yourself, it's almost impossible to be judgmental towards another person. Right.
And that's the duality piece. It's like there's no such thing as being compassionately judgmental, right? It's slippery, but we're either judgmental or we're compassionate. And I think when we look at a couple variables, like we have 60,000 thoughts a day. So how many of those thoughts are judgmental towards others and judgmental towards ourselves? You know, it's like compassion is incomplete when we don't have self-compassion. And I think with judgment, we really want to look at that self-judgment piece, because compassion is simply treating ourselves the way we would somebody we truly loved. And that doesn't go hand in hand with somebody that looks in the mirror and says not nice things, somebody that has that narrative, you know, that isn't in their highest and best interest. And really, to break it down, if you look at the thoughts in your head, if you have 60,000 thoughts a day, if you take them out and morph them into a human and sit down next to them, would you want to go to lunch with that person?
Right. Right? Good question.
That's who they are. No. And so it starts with just simple coming back into the present moment and reclaiming your power. You know, that's where... Where we're missing, because we're feeling, and you're right, there's a lot of research about the stress about from judgment, the mental stress, the overwhelm. And it takes the storing that we have. So when we're already experiencing burnout, you know, parents are 77% of all parents are experiencing burnout on some level right now. How much of that is judgment? When we look at social media, when we look at TV, it's like it's being fed to us. It's very... It's once again, slippery. It's not straightforward, but it's always there. So it's our responsibility to start coming home to ourselves in such a soft and loving way and learning those bits that, like, when we allow, you know, that's when we can witness without judgment. So we allow the guy to come in front of us. It's not worth, if it costs my peace, it's too expensive, right? If it's going to make me constrict and be mad and hold the steering wheel and my shoulders go in my ears and can tighten, that's not good for us. It's not just a somatic experience, mental health. It's the all of us. So judgment is pretty toxic, pretty slippery. It's something we all do. So how do we make those small changes to get closer to where we want to be?
Yeah. What's the difference between, and maybe there isn't, tell me, maybe this is not even a good question, but what's the difference between judgment and discernment?
Ah, very good question. Discernment is looking at something as it is. Judgment has the ego voice. Now, this is the slippery part. So judgment is going to be a little bit more negative when you're noticing. Discernment is very neutral, right? You know, right now let's say it's snowing. It's neutral. I'm noticing it's an observation. It's a neutrality. Judgment would be, oh my God, it's snowing. It is so cold. And no, oh, I can't do this, this, and this. It's going to ruin my day. There's kind of, you know, ego has more of a dissertation about the languaging, right? It's the duality, the right, wrong. But it's also a hint of negativity. Whereas discernment is just, well, right now it's like this. Just noticing.
Yeah. And so I ask that question because I think about instances like, for example, you're walking down the street, you see a person standing, you know, on the side of the street, you're by yourself, and you know, you're like, oh, that's not a good person. That's not a good man. I'm going to cross the street. Right. So in some sense, that is a judgment, but it's also a discernment. And I'm like, okay, well, and that's why I asked that question. I'm like, so am I really judging that person, or am I just discerning a potential threat because I'm by myself? You know, it's nighttime and this guy looks a bit sketchy standing on the corner.
Yeah. That's a great example. And I would go the next level and invite in the concept of intuition, because intuition is the wisdom voice, right? Wisdom and judgment are very different voices. And so, right. You know, that duality, good, bad, right, wrong, wisdom is, I think that I will be in a better place if I cross the street right now. See, right. The neutrality that it's just very matter of fact. The guy might be the greatest guy ever, but chances right. are, if you have that feeling, if your emotional guidance system is saying, turn right here, it doesn't even matter what he's wearing, what he's doing. Something inside of you is saying, time to cross the street. And that's wisdom.
Right. Right. But extrapolating that out to, you know, because I think we're taught very early on, especially as kids, to form judgments about people. And like, just putting intuition aside for a second, right? And so you think about, you know, the multimillionaire who goes into the store dressed like a bum and receives a certain level of service because of the way that he looks. Like, that's a judgment, right? Like, I'm going to treat this bum different than I'm going to treat the same guy if he walked in wearing, you know, a $900 suit.
Right.
Right. And like, so I feel like we are just taught very early on to make up the stories in our minds about who people are and to act accordingly. Right. Like, when your mother says to you, when you're a 5-year old, don't go near that guy, you know, because he's, you know, a potential threat. And I say that because I think it takes an immense amount of awareness and mindfulness to assess. Like, some judgments are okay in that scenario, right? Like, again, putting intuition aside, like in that scenario, like, you know, the guy, sketchy guy standing on the corner, it's nighttime, I'm by myself, like, totally fine, as opposed to walking by the guy and going, oh, he really needs to get a job. Like, he's lazy. He's this,
so,
that, and
so
the other,
that's
right?
Discernment versus judgment, though. Do you see the difference?
Right. Yes.
He's lazy. It's nighttime. He needs to get a job. That's the judgment. The discernment is, I might not be safe right now. That's a reality.
Right.
I don't know. Right. But it's not storying. Judgment is so much about the stories that we tell.
Story. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. It's like, discernment is becoming aware of a situation. Judgment is all the stories we put on that based on our own experience right. of life, I guess.
Right. And that is actually in the basket of our worthiness. You know, the judgments we have and the stories we tell come from our sense of worthiness.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it, you know, your thoughts are what create your beliefs create your feelings create your existence. It's your lived life. So when you want to make a real change in your life, it's that thought awareness piece and taking some responsibility about, you know, if I'm judging everybody, I'm not feeling good about myself. This has nothing to do with them. It's not even true. A judgment is not a truth story.
Yeah. And it's so interesting because I think too about the state of the world where we are in now, where it's all about division, right? Like, whether you're Jewish or Palestinian, whether, you know, you're Black or you're white, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, like, all of that is judgment, right? Like, we put judgments on people, you know, based on which camp they belong in. Right. And so if you're a Trump supporter, therefore you must be a bad person. Or if you're a Biden supporter, you're like, I'm not taking political sides here. I'm just saying, we instantly, anybody who is different than us or has different beliefs than us, like, we extrapolate that judgment or that awareness or that discernment. Oh, this guy has a different political view to me. But then, okay, that's okay. But then we get to the part that means, okay, because he has a different political view than me, this means this about him. Right? Did I articulate that correctly?
Right. No, that's accurate. And what's causing this division is fear. It's fear-based, false expectations appearing real. It's all
right.
about ego. I have to make you right. be the other. There is no other, right? The truth is, there is no other. but I have to right. make you the other to keep myself safe, which is also not accurate. And so when we look at where is this coming from, it's listening to our mind versus our heart. And when we can drop from our head right. into our heart, that's where the truth prevails.
Right.
But the rest of it is really storying and this soup of fear. It's just fear-based. It's fear, lack, limitation, separation. They're all energetically things that keep us tethered to places we don't want to be and we don't deserve to be anymore.
Yeah. And I think you just made a really important point there. And this is why I love the work that you do through your Mindful Compass business is we live by default. We operate by default. Like 99% of all humans just go through life without really consciously thinking about anything that we do. We just do, right? And recognizing, I think, that we can create moments of awareness where we can make a choice in every instance. So I see the guy, and let's say this is a race thing, like I see a person of another race, right? And then I form a judgment, oh, that because all X people behave X, Y way, right? And then to catch yourself from going, oh, but maybe that's not true about that guy. Like being aware of the thought, being mindful in that moment to say, I can choose something as opposed to operating from, oh, I must now hurt that person because I just put the story on them. Right? Which I think is at the root of pretty much.
What you just said, think about how do you feel in your body?
Right. Yes.
You tell the story about that guy. The other, the different, it's about fear. Fear is constriction, right? It's right. resistance. We're hurting yeah. our physical body. We're hurting our spirit, our mind, judgment. That's the toxicity of judgment versus, oh, you know, for whatever reason, my intuition tells me right now that it's time to cross the street. Okay. You know, that's my compass.
Yeah. So I totally agree with you because where I was going in my mind was, when we have these pre-ascribed thoughts about people or judgments about people, usually it's some kind of a nervous system reaction. And so in that second, our nervous system gets hijacked and we react in a certain way, right? And being mindful enough in what I call centered awareness that would be like, oh, I just had this thought, but I can choose how I react to that is such a place of power in your life, right? Like not only right. in perceived threats, but in the argument with your spouse, right? In the conversation with your child's teacher, right? In any kind of situation, being able to be aware enough of what's happening within your body and what's happening in your thoughts, and then being able to choose a different reaction puts you in the driver's seat of just about everything.
Right. And that's how you call your power back. And that can yeah. only happen in the present moment.
Right.
You know, the mindfulness is our superpower. We have a stimulus and then our old way is to have a reaction. And then we practice that mindful awareness piece. We have the stimulus, the trigger. And instead of reacting, we can take a mindful breath, a couple breaths. In three breaths, you can oxygenate every cell in your body. And then you can respond in a way that's meaningful or that you intend to. And, you know, where this is so powerful is we can go back into our childhood and remember a time, you know, think about, and for our audience to think back at a time when you were young and you either were sick, you got stitches, you broke a leg, something in your physical body happened, you know, and remembering that time and remembering that, oh, I healed. And then the other side of that is we can all go back to a time in our childhood or young adulthood where somebody said something really hurtful and yeah. it's still alive. It didn't heal. And so we can respond or we can react. And that's where that responsibility is, because when we react, sometimes we say things that we can never unsay. And we right. don't want to be the reason somebody's in therapy, right? And so these are kind of all tangled up together. And that's where that mindfulness piece is so powerful, because it gives you that spaciousness to take a breath and respond instead of react.
Yeah. And there's a quote on your website that I read a little while ago, and it said something about that you could be missing out on like 50% of your life or more based on the fact that you're living by default. Like, yeah. That's an incredibly powerful statement, because for most of us, like living by default, it's just like, this is my life. This is what I do, right? And there's no thought or possibility to what I might be missing in this particular point in time. But this is exactly what you were just talking about, right? Like, is being able to get yourself into a place where it's like, oh, I'm taking this action right now, but do I really want to be taking this action? Maybe there's something different. Right. And different actions lead to different different thoughts, which lead to different circumstances, and literally can open up parts of your life that you didn't even know were available to you.
Right. Yeah. And that's power.
Yeah.
That's power. Is.
Like, you know, yes.
You know, it's like time to tell a new story. And and that old saying of, you know, when we do what we've always done, we'll get what we've always got. We deserve better than that. And it's not like any of this is hard. Right? It's not like we need to take a semester class or we need to, you know, sit in a cave and chant from dawn till dusk. It's those small moments of awareness repeated over time are what create a lasting difference. And the research that you're talking about that I have about on my website is Killingsworth and Gilbert out of Harvard in 2011. They did a study and they found that people spend, I think it was 47.6, so I rounded up 50%, that much of their time either worrying about the future or ruminating about the past. But neither of them are in the now, and the now is where we live. And if we're not in the now, we're missing out on half our life. You know, when I teach parents, I carry this big jug of marbles and I have 940 marbles, because that's how many Saturdays you'll have with your child. If they're born this Saturday, you're going to get 940 of them. And if you're missing out on half your life, now you've got, you know, 470 marbles. And if you're sharing custody, you know, there's, you can look at like, wow, we really are missing out, because life is lived here and now. Period.
Yeah.
That's all it is. And so just reframing, and, you know, it's like we drive home sometimes and it's like, how did I get home? You know, the no alcohol involved. Like, I drove, but I got here. I don't even remember how I got here. And now I'm here. It's like, oh, wow, that happened fast. Or, oh, it took a long time. Because sometimes we don't even know that we're driving our own vehicle, right? Because we're not in our bodies. And it's so important, especially if we want to be our highest and best self, we got to come home to ourselves. It's that simple.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like and this is kind of where we're going with the judgment piece is, right? Like, it's the stories that we're telling ourselves about our lives, about other people, right? And if we can just like literally catch ourselves in those stories and be like, huh, is that really true? Like, do I know this to be true? Like, is there a possibility that it's not true?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
No, it's so interesting because, and again, like things that we might have, experiences that we had in our lives, things that were told to us by our parents or a teacher. Like, I remember a big one for me was when I first started writing like the blog for Old Chicks. I used to tell myself all the time, but I'm not a writer. I'm not a good writer. I'm not a good writer. And then one day I was like, well, wait a minute. Why do I think that? And when I started like actually really thinking about it, it came back to when I was like a 6-year-old and I had this teacher who was a real like stickler for penmanship, and my penmanship wasn't good. Like, I was always outside, you know, those little lines that they used to give you on the paper.
Yeah.
Right. She used to tell me that I wasn't a good writer. So I carried that with me, but literally I wasn't a good writer because my B's didn't touch the line or went over the line or whatever. And I took that to mean, like, I carried it with me over time and had extrapolated that into the fact that I'm actually not a good writer. And then when I was like, holy cow, like for my whole life till I was like 50, I believed I wasn't a good writer based on something. And so being able to challenge those stories, right, that we have about ourselves and be like, oh, is that true? Is that still true? Maybe it was true back then, but is it still true now? Like, is it like even that in itself? And even asking ourselves that question about when we find ourselves judging people, like, I've said this to myself, well, that guy must be. And then I'm like, well, is that true? Do I know it to be true? Is there a possibility that that's not the truth? Right. And then it opens up all kinds of new ideas and possibilities that I hadn't considered, which then allows me to be able to step into the space of compassion. So I just judged you for being an idiot. Meanwhile, you're rushing because your father's on his deathbed and you're trying to get to the hospital, right? Like, you're not an idiot after all, and a bad driver, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's so fascinating. The human brain is fascinating.
It absolutely is. And it's like finding those, you know, there's so many simple changes we can make. And then even though they're simple, it doesn't mean they're easy, right? Like it does take some accountability. But as a child and hearing that you didn't get your B's and the lines and the bellies weren't right and this isn't, and then that story, you know, how many stories do we have? And exactly. And it's still as an adult, you're giving your power to that teacher. Still giving.
Right.
And so much judgment is we really are giving our power away. And it's so persnickety. It's like giving our power away to try to feel better about ourselves. So like to be safe. Like if I don't write, then I can't be faulted because I've been told I was a bad writer. So therefore I won't do it because then there's no problem. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't make it, once again, it doesn't make it a truth. And it's the stories we tell and the meaning we give them is what creates our reality. The stories we tell, the meaning we give them is what creates our reality. Right. So when we tell a new story, we can change our whole life.
Right. We can open up new possibilities. And to your point, like how many stories do we have? Like, honestly, like if you actually, I mean, it's no, there's no way to even document how many stories you have because there's some of them are so very deep, so subconsciously deep. Like you probably don't even know that it's a story until you actually like came upon it and was like, wait a minute, start questioning. Right? Is this true? Is this really true? And I think the thing is like some of these stories, like, or I would probably argue the majority of these stories are not only are they not true, like we've taken something and it's now like the meaning of it somehow got contorted, or we, you know, extrapolated it beyond what it was meant to be, or, you know what I mean? Or we just something that we overheard that wasn't even relevant to us, but we just, for whatever reason that day took that thing and carried it forward with us. And then these are the stories then, which we are using to judge other people, right? And ourselves. Right. Yeah. Right.
We cast them out without knowing. So then it's like, and really when you're saying there, we don't know how many, we look at 60,000 thoughts a day. How many of those are stories?
Right.
How many of those are not true?
Right.
How many of those serve us and part of living an awakened living, no longer living by default, is examining the stories, but with just a sweet gentleness, like it's not a big deal. Oh yeah, I used to think that. Is it true? Probably not. It doesn't matter. Let it go. Because like I said earlier, you know, the instant manifestation of allowing is peace. So we tell a story that it's like, well, whatever, it's okay. Then we can feel peaceful in that moment. We don't have to have resistance. We don't have to retell a story. We don't have to make sense of something that doesn't make sense. It's a lot of work. You know, it's kind of like that worry mind. It's a lot of work to worry and stress. And we do it habitually. So I love this topic because it allows us to take a peek at what's no longer serving us and insert the small bits of self-compassion and love that really do serve us, that make our life so much more beautiful. And that's what we deserve.
Right. Right. Yeah, that is so true. So if somebody is listening to us having this conversation and they're thinking, I catch myself in judgment, like how do we start detoxing ourselves from judgment of ourselves and of others?
I think what's important is that when you take something out, you've got to replace something, place it with something, right? Mm. So it's the simple part, I believe, and part of it's, you know, based on, I read a lot of neuroscience, and then it's also Sally Says. Intuitively, I've done this for 20 years, and there are some patterns, right? But when we take out, when we notice that we're judging, and we replace it, let's just look at self-judgment. I'm judging myself.
Right.
When I replace that with self-compassion, I'm filling that hole. I'm finding a new way and I don't have to judge myself. And then I realize that doesn't feel very good. Right. And we start with, like, Dr. Kristen Neff has done the research on mindful self-compassion. And it's just as simple as putting your hand on your heart. So self-compassion is treating ourself as somebody we loved. And it's when we identify that that voice in our head, that critical voice that judges ourselves and others, is not a loving voice, and it doesn't serve us. We can make that shift, take out the judgment, and replace it with self-compassion. You know, we all have our knapsack of not enoughness and worthiness. I mean, we all have that. And trauma, everybody has trauma in different, you know, ways and places. And that's also stuff from the past. And like a river goes only one direction, we're living our life now. And that's where, like I said, that's where our power is. That's where the present moment is. That's where our peace is. So when we notice our judging, we can just tuck in some self-compassion. We replace it. It just feels so good. In the beginning, it's kind of awkward. Like self-compassion, it's like, well, maybe I'll just stay home and eat bonbons and watch TV all day, because that seems like a nice thing. But true self-compassion is doing for us what's in our highest interest, right? So going to work and nourishing ourselves. And, you know, it's like this whole rest thing. You know, we don't rest. Rest is not a luxury, and no one can rest for us. So to give ourselves permission, instead of the judgment of keep going, don't take a break, push through, you got this, you don't have time to eat, just keep going. You know, that doesn't serve us, because the voice of self-compassion is like, you know, okay, well, you know what? You got 1440 minutes today. Take a few minutes, take some breaths, have a meal, have a cup of tea, and our life just feels better. It totally changes. When we release judgment, it changes the course of our life. It's like, you know, think of vibration as, or judgment as a vibration and a tone. It's just heavy, and we schlep it around. But I don't know that it's necessary, and I don't believe that it serves us.
Yeah, I think you mentioned something very interesting or important there, in that, you know, the energetics of judgment, like, and your vibration, right? Like, so when you're in a judgy mood, like vibrationally, it feels off, like your energy feels off. And when you can all of a sudden start like having compassion towards yourself and towards somebody else, like, become aware of like how that actually feels. Like, you feel softer, you feel lighter, right? Instead of going through the world with right? Like, you know, especially when you're judging yourself, like, how do you pause? Like, how do you get over the emotion? Because usually when you judge yourself, there's an emotion associated with it, and you're in it at that moment. Like, I'm such an idiot, right? And you're like in the emotion of it. Like, what is something like practical that you can do when you find yourself in the emotion of that judgment? Like, how do you flip it to compassion? Because that's not necessarily the easiest thing to do.
It's not in the beginning. It does get easier. It's kind of like a muscle, you know, and the more you practice and build it, the easier it is to return to. Yeah. There's two things that I think that are helpful. So let's say we're just having a judge-a-thon in our head. You can do one of two things. If you put your hands over your heart, just the simple act of putting your hands over your heart, the warmth of your hands increases your oxytocin, your love hormone. It increases the chemicals in your brain, because like judgment is going to be that, you know, the stress hormones, the cortisol is pulsing like battery acid. Just simply putting your hands over your heart and saying, I'm okay. This is okay. I'm okay. Speaking to yourself the way you would a very best friend. So you've got a kinesthetic experience, hands over your heart, one hand, two hand. You can't get it wrong. Taking a breath, that's the other thing, is to be able to drop from your head into your heart. When you're getting all kinds of judgy and all entangled into story and you catch yourself, it's like, oh, I'm in my head. Without judging, I'm going to drop into my heart. Whether you put your hands on your over your heart or not doesn't really matter, but just try to take those three mindful breaths. And in three breaths, you can oxygenate every cell in your body. It's a mini reset, you know, and if you can't, have a moment, just think of something that makes you happy, like, you know, petting a dog, looking at your grandmother, holding a child, because it's changing the hormones in your brain and your body. It happens very quickly. You don't need to be doing this for 15 minutes. It can be 30 seconds, and you're making changes in neural pathways. It's like instant feedback. But the trickiest part is remembering to catch yourself when you're having a judge-a-thon.
Yeah. I had an interesting situation this week. I listen to a lot of audiobooks while I walk, and I was listening to an audiobook, and it was narrated by the author. And I found myself in this place where I was like, What does she know? Oh my God, she's had it so easy. You know what I mean? And I was in this, and then all of a sudden I caught myself and I was like, wow, you're being really judgmental. And literally just the act of me saying it out loud, like saying out loud, wow, I want to judge her so badly. It just took it away. And then all of a sudden it was just like, I'm back to listening to the audiobook. Like this is midstream in the audiobook. And all of a sudden I was like, what she's saying is like, oh, I'm totally receiving this differently now. Oh, I understand what she's saying. And so literally I didn't do anything other than acknowledge the fact that I was judging her for all the things. And therefore I wasn't even taking in the information that she was sharing. But as soon as I called it out, it was just like instantly it's like, oh, okay. I didn't even have to be like, oh, I'm sure she's a really nice person. I didn't even have to go through any of that thought. It was just like, I said it out loud. Like I literally said it out loud and then it just disappeared and I was back to the book and I'm like, oh, I'm actually really enjoying this book now. But that was for me.
It doesn't take a long time, but no. You brought a moment of awareness to your experience. And then you shifted the energy. This really is energetic. You shifted the energy from being in lower vibration, let it go, and allowed yourself to bump back to the truth of who you are. We resonate in a much higher vibration as, you know, but sometimes we get stuck in our human and that's where our stories are. And it's about catching them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so interesting. And so, you know, my newfound awareness around all the ways that I judge, big ways, small ways, you know what I mean? And like, literally just like, you, like I just say it out loud. Oh, I just judge that poor guy. Or I just, you know what I mean? I found myself saying that more than I realized I would. But it's just really brought home for me how unconscious, like we started at the beginning about living by the default, how unconscious it is for us to be there. And I like, and you know, the ways that we were talking about it being part of just the base fact of that's the way that our brain works as humans. But we're also now more elevated from, you know, naked people running around the savannah, and we have the ability to be able to
anytime soon.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. We have the ability to make different choices, and that's where the power lies. And so if there is, and for me, and I hope for the people listening, I mean, if there is one thing that you take away from this, is that just even that awareness can be such a powerful way to take your own power back from whatever situation.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you bring awareness to your experience, you are not living by default. And what you did,
right,
Jen, is like Dr. Dan Siegel talks about, you know, in the mindfulness world, name it to tame it. That's, he coined the phrase, but there's a lot of emotional regulation stuff, right? So, and when we look at, put electrodes on our brain and we see, you know, if there's something that comes up and we simply name it or say it, and if you can say it out loud, great. It, you know, the rules are very, very easy here. But if you can say it, like for you to say, I'm judging that person, you name it to tame it. And just by notifying it and giving it a label and identification, you can actually diffuse it. And when we do the electrodes and we look at the brain, when you name something, name your experience. And if it's not pleasant, you can completely dilute it or release it. So it shrinks it down. So this is neuroscience. It's quick and easy. And the only part for us to be mindful of is not judging ourselves for judging, right?
Right.
And just noticing, I'm judging. But there's no energy attached to that. It's just awareness. And then stating you're judging, you know?
Yeah. Well, even, you know, our need to make ourselves right or wrong all the time, right? Like this I'm doing is right. This I'm doing is wrong, right? If we can just witness what we're doing without labeling it right or wrong, just like, that's interesting. I just did this thing again. Like, I don't know, maybe it's your smoking. And you're like, oh, I just unconsciously picked up a cigarette. Interesting, right? Without making it wrong, as in, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you? You could have, right? Like then we start spiraling down that way and energetically, vibrationally, we're just pulling ourselves lower and lower. But like you just said, it's like, oh, curiosity. I just picked up that cigarette. Right? It's neither right nor wrong. It's just a fact. It's a discernment.
And the curiosity is key. It's like just noticing, you know, oh, look at this. You know, and having a little more neutrality, pleasant or unpleasant. Oh, this doesn't feel good. You know, this isn't where I want to be. Or this is really nice. Yeah. It's none of this is hard to do. It will change our lives when we practice. And if, you know, the better it gets, the better it gets. The more we practice, the easier it becomes. And then the more likely we are just simply to notice. And then it's kind of like a game. It's like funny. Oh, yeah, I remember. I used to judge all that stuff, you know, and it just doesn't matter. And then we're not leaking our energy. We're not holding tension and resistance. And remember, a judgment, you've got to feel it in your body before it even comes out of your mouth or, you know, swirls around in your brain. So then we have that lightness. Like, there's so much advantage to bringing this simple awareness and just with, you know, the right, wrong part, that's just ego. And when we know that, we can recognize the voice. The voice of ego is very much a dissertation. It's like, well, and it's, let's say, for example, smoking, I knew better and I shouldn't have, and I wasn't going to. And there's a whole dissertation of the mind, whereas the voice of wisdom is just love and compassion and also neutrality. Oh, I wasn't going to do that. I'm going to put this down. It's not too late. Stop.
Yeah.
You know, and just having that awareness of those voices.
Because I think, you know, like judgment, for example, doesn't go away. We just get better. It's same with fear, right? It doesn't go away. We just get better at managing it, right? Because we're human. Like, we are hashtag human and we're doing hashtag human things, right? But recognizing that's like, oh, sometimes I say, oh, that's my human having an experience, right? Just to kind of like separate myself from it. But because we're never going to be judgment free. Like, I mean, and I think you'd have to be the most enlightened being on the planet to be able to live in that place of judgment free. And I don't think any of us, well, I haven't met any really super enlightened people yet, but like, we're just human and there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's just being aware of the fact that this is, we have a tendency to do this because we are human.
And, you know, I was just thinking when you said, I haven't met any enlightened people, I have three tiny grandbabies. I have 4-year-old granddaughters that are twins.
Yes.
Okay. And I look at them and I watch them. And in some ways, I do believe they're enlightened human beings because they are so accepting of things as they are. And like last night, I was putting one of them in her car seat and it wasn't a judgment. She just said, Mamie, your breath doesn't smell good. Like, we, you know, we're just eating salmon. And I go, I bet I smell like salmon. She goes, yep, you do. Now, was she judging me? No. Did I feel defensive? No. Was she just neutral, straightforward? Just speaking it as it is and then moving on to something else, you know, but when, so I think that there might be enlightened humans, but they're pretty tiny, right?
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think we all probably come onto this planet very enlightened and then the world has its way with us and, you know, we have our hashtag human experiences. But I was thinking the other day about, you know, imagine how different the world would be right now, if we all had that level of awareness of our thoughts, of our feelings, and that we were able to, you know, take our power back from them. Like, think about the wars that would be avoided. Think about, you know, the racism that wouldn't exist. Like, think about, you know, like everything that's going on right now. Like, the world would be a very, very different place if we were all, even if we did, even if nothing else, then we just all became aware of what our thoughts and emotions are at any given time. Like, even if we did nothing else, but just became aware.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I super fascinating. With all my heart, this is how we change the world. I believe that compassion and self-compassion are the balm that will heal the world. Because like I said earlier, you can't be compassionately judgmental. You either are one or you're the other, you know, in a given moment with a given experience. And so, that, you know, when we talk about, you know, changing our life with old chicks, no shit, it's like, this is why I do what I do, because I know that lives can transform. And it's just simple, small ways. It's awareness, it's presence, it's calling our power back. And in those micro practices are what pivot the direction and the course of our life. And it just does. I see it over and over
True. That's so true. Like, questioning one story can literally change the course of your life. So true. Oh, this has been so good. And we could keep talking about this literally for days. Where can people find out more about you and your work and the judgment detox and all of that?
Oh, thank you. My website is mindfulcompass.com. My email is sally@mindfulcompass. And there's lots of information there. I have the Awaken Living course. It's an online 8-week course. And nobody has extra time. So it's really set up to do 2 30-minute half-hour courses a week, and it will change your life. But I've been doing this for a while now, and I do one-on-one coaching and speaking, and it's just an honor to be so passionate and have witnessed so much transformation with such simple tools. So thank you so much for the opportunity to share them here. I love your work. It's been really fun to see you growing into your best self, and it's a joy to hang out and chat. Always.
Yeah. Just for our listeners, Sally and I first met, gosh, I want to say 7 years ago.
No. Ish.
Mm. Yeah. Ish in that neighborhood at a speaking event as a speaking course, and have stayed connected ever since. And so, you know, watching her journey unfold, and she's watching my journey unfold. But, you know, thank you for doing the work that you're doing in the world. It's so important and it's so needed. And we'll make sure that all of your contact information gets put in the show notes. And so people can reach out if they have questions or just want to learn more about how to become more aware, right? So that we're not living by default.
Awaken Living is where it's at. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
So thank you. Thank you. And to everybody listening, I hope you like what you heard today. And the greatest compliment that you could give us would be to rate or review this episode, or even better, pass this on to a friend, a relative, or somebody you know that might get something out of it. So until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Old Chicks No Shit podcast. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give is to share this podcast with a friend, subscribe, rate and review our podcast on iTunes or wherever it is that you listen in.